to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And today we have a very special episode.
Very special episode.
Minus? Last time was plus.
No, there's no minus.
Oh.
We refuse. Times.
Multiplied.
Yeah.
So it's a very special episode because...
because it's an episode.
It is. It is very, it's a very special time in our month that we get to get together, hang out, and record a couple episodes.
I'm just sorry.
It's our time of the month.
Special time of the month.
Oh,
my goodness. If you're still here, thank you. Childlike humor. When I was a child, I walked like a child, talked like a child, ate like a child.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lucas.
All right, Phil.
Lucas, I have a question for you.
All right.
What is the best thing you've had to eat this week that you did not throw up?
Thank you for clarifying.
Lucas was sick, but
very
he has
sick.
Had some good stuff to eat.
Yes.
Since then.
Okay.
What is it, Lucas?
Okay, so Memorial Day came.
Yes.
And so for Memorial Day, we constantly, you know, barbecue. That's the big deal.
Yeah.
And so we just did hot dogs because they're easy and cheaper. Although I just want to let everybody in because it's the best hot dog I've bought, like from the store and cooked myself.
All right.
If you go to Sam's, go back to the back in the freezer section, there is the Member's Mark hot all beef franks. And these are the same ones they serve up at the front in the cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they're
man.
Good.
Yeah. And even better, I think, at home. And even better at home
yeah.
when you throw them on the... I have a smoker, so I like smoke them for like 30 minutes, get them really good. You know, I think it's better than the roller. Anyway, yeah. So those grilled Sam's hot dogs, just phenomenal.
I'm impressed. You know, I actually... When we went for my birthday a few weeks ago... I turned 60, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish
here.
You a happy birthday on your birthday.
So, but we had Nathan's hot dogs.
Mm.
And Nathan's hot dogs and Hebrew National are both what I would say the best hot dogs. But I will say when we used to go to Sam's a lot, I had those Member's Mark. Those guys are really good.
I was going to say, really, the key is you need an all beef frank.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a step above. And it is like, and used to, you could not buy the hot dogs they served in. They used to serve Nathan's at Sam's.
Oh, that's
but
true.
But you couldn't buy the Nathan's that they served in the cafe. They had the Nathan's hot dogs.
I'm guessing
in the back.
Maybe the Member's Mark might be made by Nathan's.
Yeah, I bet you're
for
right.
Sam's. Anyway, because, you know, Walmart is everything. We recently went to Walmart Town because now my daughter lives in that area. She lives in Northwest Arkansas.
Okay.
We went to Bentonville, went to Crystal Bridges.
Did you go to the Walmart there?
We did go to Walmart in, yes, I think.
Okay, I was just going to say, we went to Walmart.
And it was very nice.
It's very nice. It's close to, and they have different stuff because that's where they trial everything. So,
you know where we went? We went to Walmart later in the day, but while we were downtown Bentonville, we went to Onyx Coffee. Shout out to Onyx Coffee. That's one of my kids' favorite coffee places. Home of the $3 cookie, but it's tiny little macaron.
Okay.
And it's $3. Anyway, so they're very proud of those little guys.
$3,
but we went to the Walmart neighborhood market that is downtown Bentonville, and it was super nice. Anyway, go ahead. I totally interrupted you. I have no idea what you were saying.
There we go.
I don't value what you say, Lucas. I'm waiting for you to give me an idea of something that I can say because I'm really...
All right, here's the deal. We're going to draft again, Phil. And here,
all right, what are we drafting?
I'm gonna play some music. We're going to draft...
Draft music with Lucas.
You're drafting a triple dip ice cream sundae. So you get three scoops of ice cream, two toppings.
Three scoops of ice cream.
I'm going to take the first pick because you need time to think. My first scoop of ice cream right in the middle is going to be Rocky Road ice cream.
I think Plop. It's adorable that you think I need time to think about ice cream.
Okay, bring it on. This is two lactose intolerant people talking about ice cream.
So number one is pralines and cream.
That is a good choice. That is a good choice. I am going to go. All of mine are from Brahms, by the way, because there's no better place to get ice cream than at Brahms.
I grew up on Baskin Robbins myself.
Yeah, you're dumb.
33 flavors.
I am going to, with my second pick, I'm going to take butter pecan.
Ooh, Lucas.
These is what? Two old guys.
It's a draft. I was gonna pick butter pecan.
That's I knew.
Got it.
I knew I needed to snatch it up. I needed to snatch
cookies and
it
cream.
That's a good.
Cookies
one. I don't even
and cream.
You can have it. And see, I would take chocolate chip cookie dough because that's classic. But I can't eat it anyway.
Ew, I hate that.
Well, there you go. Well, nobody's gonna take it.
Nobody's taking it. Okay. Second round.
But underrated is the butter brickle, which has the toffee bits in it. I'm going to take that. It's going to go on the other side of the Rocky Road. Butter Brickle.
Butter Brickle. That's been a long time since I have
that
tried
is
that. All
good.
Right. So I am just going to go with vanilla.
Wow. Boring.
I love vanilla ice cream. Vanilla is a thing. It's a flavor. It's not a non-flavor. Why do we say when something doesn't have flavor that it's just very vanilla? When something's boring, it's just very vanilla.
That's
vanilla
what
is a great flavor.
And I've heard.
I love it.
I've heard it talked about. It was on a. It was like on a Reddit post or something, but somebody was talking about how, like, isn't it crazy that, like, just a couple hundred years ago, like, vanilla was so rare. Like, you had to travel around the world to get vanilla.
Right.
And now we're
certain
like,
orchid
oh,
flowers.
That's boring. Anyway, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go a classic topping. I'm going to take hot fudge.
Hot fudge? No, I got hot caramel.
Yeah, I was going to say that's, like, the best two toppings right there, easily. And then I'm going to just take,
You can't take whipped cream because we both get whipped cream.
Okay, yeah. Whipped cream and a cherry goes on the top because that's the way it works. No, I was going to take chopped up peanuts.
Peanuts. I'm going with almonds.
Okay.
I love almonds better than
slivered
peanuts.
Slivered
anyway,
almonds?
Slivered almonds.
Yes, I should have taken
real
that.
Real good, real good.
I'm
going to
trade
good
and take... No, just okay.
But I don't want the cherry. You can have my cherry.
I do actually like the maraschino cherries now. It's weird. Ew. I did not as a kid, but I'll eat them now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that
all
was
right,
the draft.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Well,
if you tune in weekly, bi-weekly, whenever these are posted, you...
Regularly.
If you listened to last episode, we talked a lot.
We have a dad story, though.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot.
Dad Stories with Phil.
Dad Stories with Philip.
This is an old dad story because I'm an old dad. But you talked last time about something that it had to do with the perspective of your girls when you got sick.
Yes.
And how that kind of changed. And I... thought of this. This is one of those very, when I think about this experience with my son who is now 30. Ben is 30, lives up in Brooklyn, New York, loves Brooklyn, where, you know, he's doing the whole New York experience. But when he was 4 or 5 years old, I don't know how old he was, he wasn't all that old. But we used to do a lot of youth camps, and we also had a car that was given to us by my parents, by my mom. And it was a Chrysler New Yorker, and it spoke. It had, instead of like ding ding and a light, everything that it did had a voice command. Every like if you're... Like, well, we heard this a lot. The door is ajar.
Oh,
it would
yeah,
just
yeah.
say all these things. And it had this very deep, very authoritative voice. It wasn't like Siri or Alexa. It wasn't like supposed to. It was very almost alarming. So it was, the door is ajar. It was very.
Left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn.
No.
That's the first thing I thought. He said, it said, radio on. Left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn. Hazard,
not
hazard,
quite.
Hazard, hazard, hazard.
That would be great. No, it was almost that annoying, but not quite, Lucas. So the door is ajar. We heard that all the time. The door is ajar. And so then, one time we were going to a youth camp and our son was with us. I'm sure we had our second son with us because they're 3.5 years apart. So he was probably a baby, but Benjamin was aware. Samuel, if he was there, was not. So we're driving down the road coming back from the camp. It's a Sunday. And we hear the voice say, your fuel is low. And then there's nothing.
Right.
We're on the turnpike coming from Joplin, Springfield, coming toward Tulsa. We're on I-44. And this is, you know, 25 years ago. There's nothing. Nothing open and nothing. And we hear it again.
Your fuel is low.
And so that probably happens 15 times before we finally run out of gas on the highway.
Oh, no.
So we run out of gas on the highway. And then so it's me, my wife, my son, probably a baby, and our the kid we took with us who was living with us who was playing bass for that retreat. We were doing music for the retreat or the camp, whatever it was. And he went with us. He was playing bass. So he and I walked. If I'm telling the story, my wife might say, no, he wasn't with us. I think the two of us, it may have just been me. I don't know. I walked, me and this teenage kid, not my five-year-old son. We walked to try to find somewhere that had gas, and there was nothing, okay? We went up on an overpass, down a street, down a road, to where there was a cell phone tower. There was a service truck abandoned at the cell phone tower, and in the back of the service truck was a gas can with just a little bit of gas in it. So I stole it.
Confessions with Phillip. Yeah.
I carried it back, put it in the tank. So, honest person that I am, we got the car started and drove down the highway, took the next exit to try to find the truck to put the gas can back. And I thought, surely there will be a gas station on the way that we can fill up with gas. Of course, there are towns. People live in these places.
Right, right.
There was nothing. Before we found the truck, or right after we found the truck and I put it back, we ran out of gas again. This time, not on the highway, on a back country road.
Yeah.
And again, you know, 20 times, it never stopped saying, your fuel is low. It kept saying that because it never got above, you know, like an eighth of a tank or whatever it was. Right. So
your fuel is low.
We ran out of gas again. We found someone. We ran out of gas 3 times on that trip. It's all sort of jumbled in my mind. I know that I stole some gas and I found a guy and a guy had a thing and we found a thing and we ran out of gas multiple times before we finally got home because we just couldn't get enough gas in the tank for some time. My poor son. every time the voice for the next 2 years we drove that car or more, that every time that voice said anything, my son said, with a terrified look on his face, oh, it breaks my heart to think this. He said, are we losing gas? Are we losing gas? I'm sure he started saying it on that trip. Are we losing gas? I was like, oh, no, son. It's okay. The tank is full. He was traumatized.
Nice.
Everything. So the rest of his life, are we losing gas? And even we got a different car, he would hear the bell. Are we losing gas? I was like, oh, poor kid. Poor kid. No. Anyway, that's Dad Stories with Phil.
Dad Stories with Philip. My favorite part of the story was right in the middle where you took about 2 minutes to clarify who was walking with you to go get gas. And you were like, and it was that kid. My wife would say, no, it wasn't my five-year-old son.
This is the way my mind works. I don't remember anything. My wife will correct me later. Thank you, Bronwyn. I love you.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
So we are talking about something really, really important these last couple episodes. And really under the topic of true repentance, which is a terrible, I even hate saying those words, Lucas, because I think most people say, when I say true repentance, I mean
you really turn away from that.
Yeah, like you really, if you're really a good Christian, you're going to have true repentance. And that's exactly the opposite of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, it's not just leaving behind your sin, it's leaving behind yourself.
Yeah, well, and we're talking about how to repent.
Yes.
Not because everybody wants to repent. Everybody, when they repent, basically what they're saying is, yeah, I want to stop doing that. I want to start doing that. I agree. We're all agreeing, saying, yeah, I want to do the right thing. Not, you know, most of the people sitting in the pews on Sunday morning or in the seats at a church on Sunday morning want to do the right thing. They've repented on that level.
Right.
Now, but how do we get down to that motivation where we repent?
Let's get down to the,
on the deeper
nitty-gritty level.
To where we have victory.
Yeah.
Over that sin, that addiction, that.
Well, and I think it's true repentance, right? It's not just, I really want to stop doing this, but it's actually
It's in the past.
Yeah, actually.
I mean, and imagine that. Imagine your sin, the thing, you know, that besetting sin, or that, you know, that anger or that jealousy. Imagine that being in the past.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, right? Woo!
Yeah, I mean, I look back at my life and things I'm struggling with, things I have struggled with, things that it is those things that, like, where the Lord has truly given me victory. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh, it's amazing.
In the moment. I mean, just to kind of look back and compare it to my recent history of sickness, like, there were moments where I'm lying on the floor writhing in pain because my stomach hurts so bad over
right.
this whole whatever's wrong with me. And like at that moment, I was like, I just don't know. I don't know how to get through this.
Right.
Like I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
Like I want my stomach to stop hurting.
But I have no power to make it happen.
And yet here I am.
Here I am.
And my stomach will not stop. Like I'm at the point of like begging, like, Lord, like what, like just let me pass out. Like
yeah.
whatever that looks like. I just need this to stop.
And what a perfect analogy of the verse that we quoted at the end of the last episode, that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Romans 7,
yeah.
something or other.
Yeah, nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry
not
it out.
Not the ability to carry it out. And that's what we want to talk about. How
does
it get carried out? How does this happen in our lives?
Because now looking back, right, I look back and I'm like, man, I'm all better, right? Like
right.
I am so glad and so thankful that my stomach does not hurt right now.
Yeah, well, so am I, because I was sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
You were so pathetic, Luke.
Thanks, Phil. That's true.
Every time I called, it's like, oh, I don't feel good.
Shut up, Phil. Feel better now. Come over there and make it be quiet. Unplug your microphone.
I'm just messing with you. I love you, buddy.
Love you, man.
Yeah, so we talked last time about this quote from Major Ian Thomas. Once again, I want to really recommend the book by Major Ian Thomas.
Not sponsored, by the
indwelling.
Way. Major Ian Thomas. I'm just joking.
No,
he's dead.
He's dead. The Indwelling Life of Christ, or anything by Major Ian Thomas, who was, my wife reminded me that he founded a Bible school, and there's a whole group of Bible schools. I can't remember what they're called, but oh my goodness. Anyway, maybe I'll think of it later. But he was ministered to a lot of people, taught, discipled a lot of people. And the quote is that, well, the quote, more a concept than a quote, that in order to really have victory, to repent, to truly, and really the definition of the Christian life is to say to God, God, I can't, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's what surrender is. That's what dying to self is. God, I can't, but you can. And you had, as we closed the episode or in between episodes, you said, there's a quote from John Piper, I think.
Yeah, because I think just
that relates
right on this, because I think a lot of us, and we talked, sin starts with a feeling. And a lot of times, like, I feel this way, I feel that way. Or maybe why you can't quit sinning is because you're like, I can't change the feeling in my heart, right? Like,
right.
I think that's a lot of times, and like, I feel like that's what I want, you know?
Right.
And like, when I'm distress, I feel like this. When, anyway,
yeah.
So John Piper, and what this comes from, he was talking about love and how he believes that love is all that we say, but it's still a feeling, and you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, they
just
say love is not a feeling
because
it's an action.
Right, and I think it is an action, but
yes.
It also is a feeling. Like you should feel like you love them, right? Like
right.
that's got to be there. And John Piper said, well, like a lot of times what they say is, well, God commands this, and you can't command feelings, so therefore love cannot be a feeling. So the feeling, and it's dangerous to remove the feeling part from love, just like I think like it's dangerous to remove the feeling from salvation. And it's easy to be like, well, no, it's not just an ooey gooey mushy thing, but you can't just remove that.
No.
Anyway, so, but from love, he said, like, you can't, their point is you can't command a feeling. He goes, well, I can't, but God can.
Yeah.
God can command a feeling.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about in the last episode was how do we get down to that level, that unconscious level, that impulse level? Because a lot of these things, sins that Christians struggle with are often impulses.
Mm-hmm.
These are things we struggle with. And this is, you know, you say, well, it's maturity. And it is true that impulse control comes from maturity, emotional maturity. But then there's a level where even, you know, you talk about the Apostle Paul as a grown adult, he's still saying, I have the desire within me to do what's right, but not the power to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And we all experience that. But how do we get down to that impulse level? How do we have the power to do it? And we know that it comes, God can. We can't, God can.
Mm-hmm.
So our you know, I think the rest of this journey, what we really want to dig into and just talk about is, okay, how? What is the day-to-day look like? What's the mentality? What's our thought process like that allows us to allow him to say and to live? Okay, so we can say, God, I can't, but you can. How do we live that way? How do we change our thinking so that we're allowing him to live through us? We're allowing his power to work in us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it is faith in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is renewing your mind to that fact. So memorize Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Where he says, and I, you know, again, I'm bad with chapters and verses now, but where he says, faithful is he who called you, and he will also bring it to pass, or he will also do it. Where he says, it's God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
He creates the desire and the power to turn those desires into action. Like John Piper said, he is creating that feeling.
Right.
That's a God thing. That's not an us thing. We don't need to grit our teeth and try, you know, go down to the altar.
Do it really, really hard.
And really, really mean it this time. Mm-hmm. That is not a scriptural way to live the Christian life. If you're, and I just want to cry from the mountaintops, if that's your habit and you're frustrated with it, it's because it's not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. Okay? Really meaning it is not helpful.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it's not enough.
Because
we can all really mean it for a minute.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that white knuckle mentality.
Yeah.
Your knuckles get tired.
So true. Our, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we depend on his power, not our own? Lucas, you go first.
All right. So I think going to these ABCs, that A, admit to God that you're a sinner, you can't
like
do anything about it. B, believe that Jesus is God's only son and that he can do something about it.
Yes.
But I think the third one, I mean, I think confessing him as your Savior and Lord, obviously very important, but it trust. And not just trusting him to save you at first, but like it's a daily, constant trust. Like this is step three, if you will. Admit you can't, admit God can, and now trust him. Every second of every day, with every thought, every action, everything you do, and then weigh, are you trusting him in this? Because I guarantee you, when you find I'm struggling with this, and I'm not saying like, if you struggle with depression, you're just not trusting God enough.
Oh, no.
No, this is not where we're headed. And my point is not like, you're a crappy Christian because you're not trusting it. By the way, crappy Christian life,
plug.
Phil. Phil Blunt. No, but what I am saying, I think, is like you have to go through and like, well, what haven't you given to the Lord? What aren't you trusting him with? And then how can you trust him more with this thing? How can you continue to give it to him? Because when you're failing and you're falling to these impulse sins, it's because for a moment, and this is harsh, this hurts to hear, this hurts to think about, but for that moment, you stopped trusting him. Like whenever you picked back up your, let's go real simple. You picked back up your shopping habit and you spent more money than you should have, or more than you had in the bank,
yeah,
which I think is a sin. You stopped trusting God for those moments and trusted to calm your nerves. You were going to go spend money.
Yeah.
Whenever you pick back up and start looking at porn, it's because you stopped trusting God to be able to calm your nerves, or you stopped trusting God to be able to handle your lust, or to be able to handle your impulse feelings. You stopped trusting him for those moments and you decided to pick up what you used to pick up.
Yeah. Right? Like you trusted something besides that. Me and Thomas says, and talking about this very thing, what a joy it is to completely and exclusively trust in Jesus Christ's life in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I know this almost sounds like circular reasoning, but this is how simple and powerful the gospel is. So how do you trust? Well, you can't, but he can. you have to trust him help you trust. You know, Lord, help me my unbelief. I believe, help me my unbelief.
The tax collector in the temple, right? Like the unrighteous Pharisee says, Lord, thank you that I'm not like him,
right?
But that I am awesome.
I've done all these things. Basically, thank you for helping me do all these awesome things.
Thanks, God, for making me the best, not like these losers. He says, that man was not counted righteous before the Lord, but the one that was, Lord, I believe, help my... The whole prayer, right? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And yeah. I think Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe, help my unbelief. Yeah. But it is like, I think it comes back. How do you trust more? You trust more, right? Like, you trust that the Lord can provide the trust. And this is... I'll let you talk eventually, Phil. But like the basis of Christian life has to be prayer, because it comes back again. Like you're not going to be able to trust him even. Your flesh will not allow you to trust him with everything. Mm. But you can pray and ask for it.
Yeah.
You can trust him with your trust. Right? Again, like this seems
circular
reasoning.
That's very scriptural because the gospels sometimes are so human. That's one of the things I love about reading the gospels. Here's what the guy said. I believe. Kinda. help me do that. He's saying, I want to believe. I want to, you know. Yeah. That's a real deal, powerful prayer.
Yeah.
Don't think you've got to find a better answer than that, because it's your pride, it's your fleshly pride that wants a better answer than that.
Yeah.
It's him. It's not us. It's got to be this sort of messy, gotta help. It's a helpless process. It is the process of leaning into our helplessness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Christian strength comes from admitting that I am weak.
When I am weak, then I am strong.
I love to quote pop stars. And so there's a song and it goes, and I'm weak, and what's wrong with that? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, what's wrong with that? And the song is not great he's basically saying, let me do whatever I want.
Who is that?
I don't even know.
A pop star.
Yeah.
Is that Elvis Presley?
No. No, he was the king of rock and roll, Phil.
Rock and roll.
Maybe it was Michael Jackson, king of pop. You got them all mixed up. Smooth criminal. Anyway, but what I was trying to say, like, right? Like, it's, if you want to be strong, lean into your weakness, because the Lord's strength is the only real strength. Like you can hold it up.
If you want to be strong, lean into your weakness. That's good.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Put it on a t-shirt. If you want to be strong... That was Lucas using his brain to think about things right there.
Me using my brain to think about things a lot.
Yeah.
I use my brain a lot
to think about things. Like, if you want to be strong, lean into your weakness. Practically, that's a great little nugget to think about. And again, these things that we're saying, how are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. Who renews our mind? Well, he does.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say I went through a process of sort of purposefully renewing my mind. So I can't say that discipline in the scriptures wouldn't be a really good idea and isn't a powerful thing. But the discipline in the scriptures has to be coupled with and based in and plugged into trust in the power of the scriptures, which are the living word of God, Jesus himself. I mean, it's a trust in his power, his life in us that wells up as the scriptures renew our mind.
Yeah. Well, I think about it and just It is, you know, the potter and the clay, he's constantly molding and making and moving and he's doing all these things. But I kind of think about, like, we come to Christ and he hands us like a hammer and a chisel, right? Or what we think is a hammer and a chisel. And like, okay, now, and in the one mold, we think of it like that, and that, like, it's like a piece of marble and you got to chisel it away. And what I need you to do is with your life, like, really work on it. And yet, what he actually handed us was not a hammer and a chisel, it was a hammer and a nail. He's not saying, hey, take this block of marble and turn it to a masterpiece. He's saying, hey, take your old self and kill it.
Yeah.
Like, hang it on a cross. And it's easily mistaken.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we mistake it to be this, like, self-help book. But yeah. The Bible is not a self-help book. It is a, hey, you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
God can't. And this is, again, it's trust. Trust, trust, trust for more trust, trust for more trust, trust for more trust. Faith builds faith. You have to have faith. Like, God gives you the faith so that he can give you more faith.
Right.
Right. And in that, in this life, I kind of like a roller coaster, where, not that life is a roller coaster, it is, but it is, like, when I am getting on a roller, I am terrified of heights. I don't know if you all knew this.
I did not know that.
I'm super scared. I hate heights. And I've gotten over it more and more. Like, as a kid, I could not get in and, like, get in an attic. If I could see down.
Oh, wow.
Like, once, like, I was terrified. So roller coasters, right? The height part is very scary. But when I'm at the base of the roller coaster, I believe that by the time I get to the top, I'm going to have worked up enough faith or whatever to be able to go through. Because at that point, it's too late anyway. But it is, like, you don't have to, maybe at the beginning, you don't have to believe in everything, right? Or believe and have faith for everything, but have faith that there will be more faith to get through everything, right? Like,
yeah. And I want to pull, because you keep kind of going back to this ABC, admit, confess, believe. And the scripture that you're, ACB, but admit, believe, confess. Is that what I said? Yeah. Admit, confess, believe. The ACBs.
ACDC,
now,
baby.
I know my ACBs. I will fail kindergarten. Anyway, so but the ABCs, admit, believe, confess. What you're referring to, without actually saying it, is as you receive Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in him. Hmm. You know, the Galatians were, in really outward, obvious ways, doing what we have a tendency to do sort of subtly, culturally, as Christians, psychologically maybe, and that is we receive salvation by faith, we receive his grace, you know, we admit, believe, confess, he can, we can't, we admit we can't, we trust him to save us, and then we go on and try to do it on our own. We try to then get better. And we think, okay, now my job is to follow Jesus. Now I need to be an obedient Christ follower. And I'm a little troubled by the in vogue-ness of that term these days. We call ourselves Christ followers as if it's up to us, and that's impossible. That's a recipe for failure. You cannot follow Christ in your flesh, in your own strength. So we tend to think, and the Galatians wanted to add rules and laws, and they said, well, this makes you righteous or keeps you righteous. You have to then follow these rules, and
you have
Paul's
to cut
saying,
off the tip of. No, sorry, that was there, but
he went there. So, but yeah, literally, those kind of things. But you know, we don't use that kind of outward thing, but internally we say, well, you have to, you know, read this many chapters a day, or you have to serve at church, or you have, and there's nothing wrong with serving at church. Please serve at church.
Please read chapters a day.
Please, you know,
don't get it wrong. Phil is not saying don't read your Bible.
As much of the whole of the scriptures as you can really digest, but that's not what makes you righteous. That's not what makes you grow. What makes you grow is the same process by which you believed in him, by which you received him. And that is constantly saying, I can't, you can. It is a trust thing. It is his power, not mine. I have been crucified with Christ, but I live, but not I. It's Christ who lives in me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just kind of funny. It comes back to the ABCs, but it is like following Christ, the deeper we go, it often points itself right back to the start.
It needs to,
and so it's the same thing again, and it's not just that initial trust. It's a continued, constant, everyday kind of trust.
Yeah. And when Jesus said to take up your cross daily, he wasn't saying continually criticize yourself or continually try harder to be better. He was saying, in many ways, just the opposite. Continually remember that you cannot and only I can, and I want to. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I was about to say, I think it's not to pile a bunch of extra stuff on and like try really hard. His yoke is easy and his burden is light because he's scraping away the desire for sin.
Right.
He's scraping those burdens away, and you can either let him take that or you can take on the burden of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Which I think is where a lot of us, we get caught up in, is now it's on me to be really good. And now I have this, like I have my pride and I care this. And this is a good friend of mine, but reminded just like, pride is so interesting because it creeps up so sneakily. Like sneakily. Anyway.
Sneakily is a word.
Sneakily. Like it comes like at our highest point. It's interesting, you know, at our highest point, all of a sudden it's easy to be built up in pride and think, like even my pride is like, well, I'm trusting God really, really well now. Like, hold on. You know, like it's just, but it is a good thing too. It's constantly on attack mode because it forces us to constantly trust more and more.
Constantly
like,
trust.
Like I can't settle and decide and like, just stop because pride will come like a thief in the night. Just like, boom, all of a sudden I'm stuck in pride again.
And I think about, you know, another, when we talk about pride, we're told to have the same mind in ourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Well, then we're also told we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is, I don't know how much time we have left, but I feel like we must be winding down near the end. But I want to kind of close with this idea that, you know, if you think about, well, I want to do this, does Jesus want to do that? Because he's the one that's living in you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a way, and I just think practically that to say, does Jesus want to do that, is a great way to to really check, am I living right now from my flesh or from my spirit?
Yeah.
Because if I want to do that, well, that's my flesh.
Yeah.
And that's not the end of the story. That's not who you really are. The truth is you're one spirit with him. The more real you is the spiritual you that is one with Jesus that wants exactly the same thing as him all the time.
Yeah.
That you don't have to, and you said the words like he scrapes away those desires. You don't have to scrape away those desires off of Jesus. If you live in the spirit, that is your desire. Your desire is his desire.
Yeah, He changes what you want. And I've seen that in my life where, you know, in trusting him at first with that's a certain sin, like it's really difficult at first. And you cling and hold so tight.
Yeah, right.
And then yet after a few months, all of a sudden you look back and that sin, you see it now, you're like, that kind of looks disgusting. It
loses its luster.
Yeah, yeah. Its deliciousness is gone.
Because, and so it's his power, not ours. And I think that's really
profound.
This is what real Christianity is. It's walking in the spirit. And walking in the spirit is not getting more spiritual. It's, again, isn't this weird? When we hear the phrase walk in the spirit, we think, okay, I'm going to try harder to walk in the spirit. No.
Well, I think about too, like we're like, just in that, like walking in the spirit's not, the goal's not just to get more spiritual or you're not trying really hard to do it. This is from a podcast and he was talking about, he called it Lust Land and being a resident of Lust Land. But I think if we look at as a whole, like we're all residents of Sin Land. And when you live in Sin Land, you look like a Sinlander, right? Like you have these common things that are there and you walk and this is where you dwell daily. This is where you walk and live. And so you have the smell about you. You eat the same foods. You do the same things. That's who you are. But if you come over to Spiritville, the people there are different.
Yeah.
And when you first get there, you seem and feel a little out of place.
Yeah.
And you still smell like you're from Sinland and you still kind of want to eat the things from Sinland. But the longer you live in Spiritville,
Yeah.
Everything about you starts to shift and change, and you start to smell like you live in Spiritville, and you start to look like you live in Spiritville, and you start to walk and talk, and your accent changes, and the language, like all of these cultural things start to shed off from where you were, and all of a sudden one day you look, walking in the Spirit isn't something where you're like trying to just be the most spiritual one out of everybody. No, you're just, you're changing towns.
Yeah, that's good.
And you
gotta
stop visiting.
Yeah.
But you don't get to keep back to visit your old town. Like this is where we are now. We live and walk and breathe the Spirit.
Yeah.
Not the flesh.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope this conversation is really helpful to you guys. It's, you know, it is so much about trust, you know, walking in the Spirit is trusting His life.
Yeah.
His life in us. I can't, God, but you can. God and only God can command a feeling, and He does that. It is a God thing, and God alone. I think Spurgeon said, "Sin is all me, and salvation is all God."
So
he said it in a lot more words.
He said, "There is suffering in everything except pancakes."
Except pancakes, which.
Well, Phil, I'm going to take my minute of curmudgeonry
right now.
Shrinkflation ticks me off.
What is that?
It's where instead of making things cost more, they make them have less in them. And what ticks me off even more.
Oh, man. What did you call it again?
Shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation. Oh, man. I do. I hate
in
that.
In my constant battle with Arby's and their stinking Jamocha shakes. So, okay.
I found out, made by real Jamocans.
Oh, dang it.
It's all a hoax.
Anyway, I went by Arby's the other day because I had a couple of my brother-in-laws with me. We had been working hard, moving stuff at the church. It had been a long day. So
you
I was
know,
like,
you may hold the record for brother-in-laws. Go ahead.
Anyway, seven. I was like, I'm going to treat us all to Jamocha shakes. Now, used to, if you got a regular-sized Jamocha shake, it was the size of a typical medium drink. It was like a 32-ounce thing. Right, like it's pretty big.
And then
if you got a large, you're getting like a 44 ounce.
This is probably too much.
Yes, it was huge, but because of that, like if I got larges, like I could share. Like Tori and the girls could all share one.
Right.
Well, recently they switched, and now a regular is the size of a small, like a little bitty thing, which is probably what you're supposed to drink amount.
Yeah, it's more.
And then a large is now the size of like a 20-ounce cup.
I have to complain about shrinkflation, but in this case, the drinks were too big.
Okay, Phil, but if I want to gorge myself once a month,
you have the right to do that as an American.
Since when has a fast food restaurant ever cared about my health? They still fry everything. It's still all covered in bread and grease. They don't care about my health. They care about their money. And it ticked me off because I got the largest because I was splitting them with people.
No, I think that's one of the ways they're getting away with it. The whole shrinkflation thing is because of health consciousness. People are like, well, I probably don't need that big old...
They're not getting away with it. I'm calling Arby's corporate, and I'm filing a complaint.
Does Arby's stand for... Is it a different way of saying R period B period roast beef?
No, I think it was somebody's like... Like Arby's, or I don't know. Their name is dumb too.
What did you do?
I had to rewind the music. All right, Phil. Loving pancakes.
Yeah.
If they have any questions, comments, or concerns, where can they send those?
secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. Or hit us up in our inboxes, DMs on Instagram or Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Ideas, whatever you've got, we want it.
Man, we would love to hear from you. Subscribe, like, share. Share
the
stuff if it's meaningful to you or if you like us.
Or if you don't.
And I just have... Wow, that was weird. I have one more thing to say, which has already been said by many of you guys. Wrap us out, Lucas.
Love and pancakes. What even does that mean? I gotta pour the syrup on like a waffle syrup piece. Oh, yeah, I like the waffle slurpee in my mouth. I gotta listen to Second Breakfast every day. Now, you know, I like to hear all the episodes we did. Like to hear about a history of the pandemic that we went through. You know me and Phil, we've been friends for a while. It really makes me smile when I think about it all, y'all. Woo!